Hey, this is Nick Gomez from The Walking Dead and Dexter. Hi, Sister K. Hi, Sister J.
Hey, sisters. It's Shalita from Philly. It's time for humans to bite back.
Hey, this is Jackie from the San Francisco Bay Area, and it's time for humans to bite back.
Hello, sisters. This is Paris from Mobile, Alabama, and it's time for humans to bite back.
This is Nursey Poo 2K2 from Philly. Yo, it's time for humans to bite back. Arr.
This is Emily, and it's time for humans to bite back. Love you, sisters. Keep it up.
Hello, sisters. This is another Bill from Costa Mesa, California, also known as the future Mr. K. Hello. It's time for humans to bite back.
Hi, this is Carol, Simple Show Seattle. It's time for humans to bite back.
This is Niambi, a Philly girl hailing from Virginia. It's time for the humans to bite back.
Welcome to Sister Speak Podcast of True Blood. This is Bunny from New York, and all I have to say is, it's time for humans to bite back.
Hey, what's up? This is Brother Ray from St. Louis, and you've reached the Sister Speak Podcast, home of the strongest, sexiest, and most intelligent viewers. As we stand united, because it's time we humans bite back.
Welcome to Sister Speak True Blood, where we discuss season 6 of the HBO series True Blood from a sister's point of view. I'm Sister J.
And I'm Sister K. And welcome to episode 56. Let's get started.
Okay.
All right. We are here to talk about episode 5 of season 6, titled F the Pain.
F the Pain Away.
Well, that's the name of the song, but it's F the Pain.
Anyway, the wine selection.
Oh, yeah, your
wine selection. For this episode is a wine called Sweet Red. It's one of my favorite ones. And it's out of the Llano Estacado Winery in Lubbock, Texas.
Oh.
That's L-L-A-N-O, and it's called Sweet Red. That's my favorite. That's my all-time favorite. And while we're doing the podcast, I'm drinking an adult beverage.
As always.
Which is Dos Equis.
Dos Equis.
Dos Equis. Negra Modelo.
You were drinking that a couple weeks ago.
Yep, that's my favorite beer.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. All right.
All right, so where do we want to start? This episode had a lot of action, a lot of stuff going on, and it's kind of back and forth, so...
It's, yeah,
you know...
I don't know if we're going to be able to do characters, because they're so,
it's so
enmeshed. So let's just go with, like, what happens. And, you know, when we left the last episode, Sookie is leading Ben to believe that they're going to have sex, and she tells him, get off me or die, Warlow. So, yep. So they open with that scene, and of course he's backing up, and she's fussing at him, talking about, all of y'all lie and cheat and come in my home and terrorize me and stuff and scare me, and he's talking about...
He's like, it's our destiny to be together. I didn't want to hurt you. I love you.
That's what he says.
And she's like... Then why did you kill my parents if you love me? Which is a good question.
Mm-hmm.
Well, about this time, they switch over to Bill and Jessica.
Oh, yeah.
Jessica crying still behind killing up the babies, as we're going to take Shalita's word.
Yep. The
babies.
Up the babies.
And so... Bill is trying to comfort her, and it's like, you know, we'll figure out what to do. She starts kissing Bill, and I'm like, oh, hell to the no.
Hell no.
And he's like, what the hell? He's like, you're high.
But the way he said it, it was
funny.
I love this scene, because he was so disgusted.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're high. You know, it was just so funny. I laughed. It was
and
good.
He's like, and she's like, it's the fairy blood. I just want to die or fuck while dying or die while I fuck it, whatever she said. And so he's trying to get her to calm down.
Yeah, well, and he's trying to tell her, look, fairy blood makes vampires high.
Yeah.
And you done drink four of them? Oh, yeah. You're going to be high for a while.
Around this time, Andy pulls up.
Then,
so they switch back to Sookie and
Warlow.
And he's saying, well, Sookie, I killed your parents because they were trying to kill you. And she's like, oh, for fuck's sake. And she gets mad, mm-hmm. burns him with her light. And when he gets burned, Bill feels the pain.
Yep.
And flashes back a bunch of flashes. We find out later.
3500 B.C. Yeah,
of Lilith, Billith, turning Benorlo. So, we flash...
Well, wait a minute. You getting it all gobbled
up. Well, we know later that's what happens, but at the time, we don't know. He just flashes like four or five scenes and comes back to himself, and then he runs out the door. Back at Sookie's house... She's fussing at Benorlo. Bill comes sauntering in, and she's like, oh, really? Now you... I thought I was dead to you.
Mm-hmm.
But what cracked me up, though, was when Benorlo did tell her that he killed the parents because they were trying to kill her. She's like, you're a filthy fucking liar. But anyway, Bill walks in the house just all willy-nilly, because he can do that now, mm-hmm. apparently.
Yeah.
And commands Benorlo to come with him.
Well, first of all, Ben says to Bill, well, if you're the Bill that's been terrorizing Sookie, I will kill you. And Bill looks at him and says, you already have.
That's true.
And that's when you realize, or I think Benorlo's thinking, wait a minute. And then Bill commands him to follow him.
As your maker.
And the way that Benorlo looked, it was just like...
What the fuck?
Yes, sir. You know, I mean, his head was kind of down or something because he had to go.
To me, he looked like he was shocked because he killed, you know, Lilith is dead. And who is this dude that I've never met talking about as your maker come with me?
Mm-hmm.
And so, to me, he looked scared. I don't know about scared, but he looked shocked. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And so, as he starts walking out, they show Sookie, and man, that girl is just too damn skinny.
Well, she's pretty thin.
Yeah.
But, so, I mean, that happens a lot of times. You know, it's a misnomer that every woman who has children, you know, they keep a certain amount of that baby weight on them, because that's not true of all women. So,
no.
And she's just one of those kind.
So anyhow, so that's the end of seeing Sookie for a while, unless we want to keep on with her.
No.
But, so Benorlo has to go with, so Benorlo has to go with, Bill. And so, in the meantime of all that shit happening, Andy shows up at Bill's house. Jessica's still there crying and shit, which I was like, please stop crying. And he's like, come out here, Bill Compton. He goes in the house because the front door is open and sees all the babies
laid out. I felt so bad for Andy.
Like, oh, Andy.
I felt so bad for all them girls and for Andy, though.
So as he's looking around the house, Jessica escapes out the front door real quick.
Mm-hmm.
And as he's about to follow, you could hear one of the girls start coughing.
Yeah, well, she's kind of gasping.
Gasping for air. So he scoops her up and takes her immediately over. And I'm thinking, okay, he didn't go to the hospital. So at first I was like, where the hell is he at? But it was smart. He went straight to the police station.
Mm-hmm. He knew what she needed.
Uh-huh. He knew before Sookie and them fools knew.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yep.
He went straight to the evidence box because they don't have like a lockup.
Well, he did have to unlock this room.
That's true.
That's her evidence
room. He went straight to this evidence box, found a vial of V, and gave her some V.
Mm-hmm.
So that she could heal up real
quick. But did you see him smelling it as he was giving it to her, though? He was having some
probably flashbacks. Some flashes.
Yeah, because, like, you know, he was on the V for a while.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, good. Hopefully she actually does live, the one little baby girl.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Anyway, so then Bill, going back to them, takes Benorlo to his underground lab. And so Benorlo's like, who are you? And he's like, well, I'm part of Billith. I'm part of her now. And now that makes you part of me. And I command you again as my as your maker to not try to kill me.
That was funny.
And then he runs up on Benorlo and takes some of his blood so they can start testing it. And I'm thinking, okay, this is a better alternative to snatching up the four Fabies.
I know.
You know? But I guess he didn't know about Benorlo at the time.
Mm. Yeah, that's probably true.
So at that point, while he's taking the blood from Benorlo, is when we get the flashback to see how Ben was turned back in 35.
All I gotta say is two things. Number one, I'm tired of seeing this skinny ass bitch naked all the time, this Lilith. Yeah. And then she has a flabby ass behind to be so thin. Her behind was jiggling like Jell-O. When she was screwing Ben, and I'm thinking, and it was, to me, it was distracting. I'm thinking, damn, to be so thin, she's that out of shape?
That doesn't mean you're out of shape.
Oh, please, she was jiggling worse than Jell-O.
It's just her booty wasn't toned.
It sure wasn't. I thought, damn.
But you saw whose booty was toned, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. But that scene was just, I said, oh, hurry up. Yeah. You know, hurry up. I'm so sick and tired of this.
The one thing I will say, though, True Blood, they'll show some nakedness, but it's not skinny, skinny, skinny nakedness where it's just nasty to watch. You know what I mean?
Well, her jiggling butt was nasty to watch.
Sister J, you weren't supposed to be looking at her jiggly ass.
It was distracting.
That reminds me of Magic Mike, the one who was jiggly, and I was like, what the hell? How does that happen? So, obviously, him and her got issues with their jiggly booty.
Yeah, they got some jiggly booties.
But, so, we see how he gets turned, which, you know, I was thinking, did we have to go through the whole sex scene to do that? Could we just not have him get turned?
Yeah.
You know. And then, so that was good to see. I always liked when they go back and show us how, you know, what happened. So at this point, we get back. The next time we see them, Benorlo is threatening to kill Dr. Takahashi because Bill's done locked both their asses up in the same cell. And I'm thinking, why would you lock both of them up?
I know it.
You need Dr. Takahashi to start working on some shit. And, so he's threatening to kill Dr. Takahashi, and so Bill's like, well, why would you want to kill an innocent man? He's like, I've had to kill many innocent men because of you. I don't like that you made me what I am. I don't like that you made me have this hunger that I have to kill my whole village and my family. And then we get another flashback about him coming back to camp after he turned into a vampire. So,
it's been several years.
Yeah, several years later.
Yeah, because Niall is... three.
They grow fast.
Well, that's true. But the dad or the mom did say you've been gone for years or something like that.
That's true.
So we know it's been years.
That's true. And so then we see him killing up his folk and leaving Niall, you know, as a little toddler, really.
Yeah. I mean, he was three.
Yeah. And so then Benorlo says he despises the vampire race and wishes them all to be extinct, even himself. And he doesn't want Bill to help save them. And then we get another flashback of him going into a cave where Lilith was sleeping at night.
In the daytime.
Sleeping. And he busts open his light hand opens up the cave for the sun to come in and burn her ass up.
That was good.
That was good.
That was smart thinking.
I kind of like that scene.
Yep, that was smart thinking.
Burn her ass up. Plus, you know, they need to get on with the Lilith crap.
Yeah,
you know?
They need to get it done and get it done. Over with, so we don't have to see her or the mother bloody naked chicks.
That's another episode, but still.
Okay, let's go to the camp.
Wait, the camp?
Yeah. Tara tells Eric that the guards have Pam. Did we cover that part?
That's true. No.
And so Eric is asking her when, and she says just now. So they use their vampire speed, and they see the car that's taking Pam going through the gates and stuff. So they drop their little fangs and raise up their hands and, you know, turn themselves in so they could get in that camp with Pam.
Yeah.
And then we see the governor is up in his little quarters getting dressed. And
Sarah.
Because he's going to take Willa to the vamp camp. Because he's at the mansion. So he says, if anybody's going to take her, then I'm taking her. Now, she's still my daughter.
I like the governor. Now, I know he's a dick, but I like the governor.
I like the governor's personality, though.
I do, too.
And his sayings have me cracking up. He is always cracking up. But Sarah Newland's there. And she got this look like black raincoat on. And she's that's what it looked like to me, black raincoat. And she's trying to tell him, look, you know, once they're turned, then they're gone. They're lost to you. I've lost loved ones, too. You're just going to have to let her go. And then she's trying to tell him, look, maybe you and I can have a child together. And I'm thinking, you know, that was really the wrong time for that conversation. Yeah. And that's what he was trying to tell her. Look, I can't deal with this right now. He said, that's my daughter. Even though she is a vamp and stuff, but they're still my daughter. And I can't deal with this right now. And so she's trying to tell him, look, you just got to let her go. You said we was in this together. And I like what she said. She said, when I came to you with my ideas and my money and my support, and I thought, she said, then we were going to always be a partner. Don't take me for granted. That's what, you know, Steve did. And he said, look, I can't deal with this. And he walks on out. She had me dying talking about, when a woman comes to you in black lingerie, you unwrap her. And I figured, oh, yeah, that's why she had that raincoat.
Well, you missed the part. Really, what she's talking about is, she says, we could have a baby of our own. But you have to put a ring on my finger first. So she's really wanting him to marry her.
Yeah, but she's probably already pregnant, though.
I don't think so. That's what we thought last week, where that she was going to tell him she was pregnant. Because it was just strange how she kept trying to talk to him. But really, it was really a conversation about, well, you lost one child. You could have one with me, and we can get married.
Yeah, that is true.
You know?
That is true.
And since she's not a parent, of course she doesn't realize that, and I'm glad that he said it, I can't replace her.
Yeah, I'm not replacing her.
And I like when he said, I was in the operating room with her when she was born. I held her first. I named her.
That I was the first one she saw.
I was the first one she saw. I was the first one who held her. Mm-hmm. I named her. And I like that they put that in there, you know, to say, look, B, you can't replace my child.
Replacing her.
I don't care that she's a vampire. No, I am going to have her ass at the camp, but you know, she's still my child. So I like that part.
Yep.
If you walk out this room, and we find his name is Truman, his first name.
Yeah, his first name is Truman.
And I'm thinking, lady, shut up. And then, wait, okay. So the next time we see Sarah Newland, as much as she's supposedly... she's sitting on Jason's fucking steps.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this whole scene to me, I'm like, okay, what? I didn't get it.
It was crazy. I guess she felt like she needed to go back to something familiar. I don't know. I didn't understand why, of all places, would she show up on Jason's doorstep? That's because she knows he screws everything, including Rock.
True, true.
So that's probably why.
Yeah.
Because she wanted to have sex with him.
Well, she did say, you know, I want to save your soul, which I didn't.
Oh, she made that shit up. She came over there just to have sex with Jason.
But she says she's been with a gay man and she's been with an old man.
That ain't how she said it. She said, I've been with a gay guy and an old guy, and now I'm...
I think God wants you to fuck you.
Yeah.
But what I was getting ready to say about that is maybe she thinks, okay, so she was with Steve because he was going to be the next thing, Reverend Son of the Light, what is it, Lord Light, whatever that was. And
that's Game of Thrones.
Was the Lord of Light. Oh, yeah.
Golly!
No, what was it called? Oh, Fellowship of the Sun. That's what it was. So, yeah, the Fellowship of the Sun is what I was trying to say.
Right.
But the Fellowship of the Sun, you know, she was going to be exalted in that. So she kind of maybe married Steve for the position. And then with this dude, Governor Burrell, she wants to get married because maybe that will raise her as to be in the first wife of the state or whatever. So maybe she felt like, you know, being with Jason would be just for her for no other purpose than that's how she felt. But I still didn't get, you know, you're going to go straight from the Burrell house to Jason's house.
That didn't make sense to me.
Yeah, it was just weird.
None.
And the whole, I want to save your soul, and God wants me to screw you, and I don't know.
It was one of those scenes that should have been just...
Throwaway. But they needed it, because for the next time we see them, after they have sex, Jessica's beating on Jason's door. She don't know where to go, so he lets her come in, and she's telling him all about killing up the babies.
Yeah.
And that, you know, the devil's the one that's making her do stuff, and does he think that she's the devil, and what if Bill... You know, did you ever love me? And if you did, what did you love about me? Because I can't be lovable. She's, you know, going through this thing about hating herself, really. And so he's like, well, yeah. He said, like, yeah, I think it was mostly your heart is the reason why, and blah, blah, blah. And she's like, oh, my gosh, what if Bill's the devil? What if
Bill? That was funny.
That was funny when she said that. Because it was a tender scene about him saying, I think I loved your heart most of all. And then she just goes, what if Bill's the devil? Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And also what was funny to me was when she says, oh, I can't be trusted. You need to put me somewhere because I don't want to rape you. I don't want to do anything to you.
I know.
You're just too tempting. He's like, I'm not tempting. And he started having that little smile on his face that he gets.
Mm-hmm.
And then here comes Sarah. Oh, you didn't tell me that she was dating a vampire whore.
No, he said that you had a vampire girlfriend.
Yeah.
And he's saying, well, she's not my girlfriend. Well, I don't know what she is. Jason is.
So then Jessica's like, look, you're the lady from TV. You're awful.
And she said, like, you're Steve Newland's ex-wife.
Yes, that was funny.
She says, I am not Steve Newland's ex-wife. I'm my own person.
I thought.
This woman is so delusional.
No, I thought that was funny. Because that's not what Jessica meant, but she's so tired of being in everybody's shadow.
I know.
She was like,
that's what it is, being in everybody's shadow.
She's like, I am my own person. And then she calls Jessica a demon whore. Well, Jessica was cracking me up when she's like, look, lady, I've had a rough fucking day, and I don't need you trying to tempt me.
Did you see how Jessica was pulling her hair, though?
Jessica yoked her up to use...
She pulled her ass so tight, and I thought, ooh!
That had to hurt. Neck was all bent back.
And well, what it reminded me of was the fight she had with Steve Newland over Jason. And when he grabbed her, she said, hair pulling!
Yes!
That's what it reminded me
of. Yeah, that's funny, yeah.
So I thought it was really clever that not only did they have her pulling hair, because she didn't like it, but it was Steve Newland's wife this time.
That's a good point.
Yeah. That's what I thought. That's the first thing I thought about. Oh, this is really cute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was cute. Okay, so let's get to the real issue in that whole scene.
Yes.
How was Sarah Newland able to rescind Jessica's invitation
to the house?
Because did you hear Jason in the background? How did you do that?
Yeah, he's like, this is my house.
He said, this is my house. How'd you do that?
I thought it had to be the owner of the house.
I thought it had to be the owner of the house, too.
Not just any random human.
No.
I don't get that.
I didn't understand it. And I have not talked to anyone who watches True Blood who can explain that to me.
Right. Because when has it been? Did we miss it somewhere that said any human?
Nope.
It has to be the owner of the house.
It's the owner of the house. The owner of the house has to invite you in.
Right.
And can rescind, of course.
Right.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Which is odd. Really odd. So, anyway.
And that's why when Eric gave Sookie back her house.
Yeah.
She says, okay. And he says, you know, I'll send the deed over in a day or so. And she says, okay, well, since it's mine, then, you know.
Get out.
No, she said, I rescind my invitation.
Right.
She didn't just say, get out. She did it very tender. You know?
Please.
She did.
Okay.
But anyway.
Okay.
But yeah, how was Sarah Newland able to do that?
I don't know. I don't get that.
And of course, you know, Jessica swept outside and then the LABTF, they're right there.
Ready.
Ready, because Sarah Newland had called them.
Called them probably
while she was in the bedroom. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Ooh, she a hateful one, though.
Well, she comes in handy. She came in handy to save Burrell from his daughter.
Well, that's true.
Anyway, so they take Jessica away.
Right. Then we're...
So then the last time we see Jason in this episode is...
Well, we're not going that way.
Well, why not? It's the last thing we see of him. Why don't we finish it?
Okay, cool.
Shit, Sister J. Damn! Makes shit difficult. So, the last thing we see of Jason, so we can finish this shit out, is he leaves a voicemail for Sookie telling her that he's messed things up with Jessica. He's going to try to fix it. And he heads into an LAVTF
recruitment center.
And I'm like, oh, now.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. So that's the last that we see of Jason.
All right. Now, we're at the camp, and they're going to show us, like, stuff that goes on at the camp. So when they're leading Pam in to this one, it's supposed to be a psychiatrist doctor. She goes by all these different little exam rooms, and one of them, to me, one of the most gruesome one was they had this one vampire sitting in a dentist chair.
Yes.
And they were yanking out his fangs.
That was awful.
Oh, that was awful. Then they had this one they called the copulation room, where they're watching vampires have sex in the vampire speed.
Yep.
And then they have one where they got a vampire running on a circle like a gerbil.
Mm-hmm.
In the vampire speed.
Yep.
I thought, oh, hell no.
Yep.
So then we go to Pam in the room, and this doctor wants to talk with her about, you know, her feelings and what it means to be a vampire and all this stuff. She had me dying talking about it. He said, well, why don't you lay down? She finally did it, and then she jumps up and says, wait a minute. Is this therapy?
I love that. I love that. She's like, I am not talking about my fucking feelings.
Yeah.
But what I immediately realized or recognized the guy, the doctor,
yeah,
in this scene is the guy from that awesome ass movie.
What?
With John Cusack called Identity.
Oh, really?
Remember that movie?
I didn't watch it.
What? Okay. All y'all need to go watch the movie Identity. It's rentable. It's probably on Netflix for free. It's from probably 10 years ago. But it is awesome. It has a bunch of name brand people in it, actually. But the main person is John Cusack. And this doctor is in the movie. And it is good. I don't want to tell y'all about the movie, but it's good.
Okay.
Anyway, so the doctor's like, well, you know, we want you to answer some questions, be truthful. And if I deem that you're telling the truth, then we'll give you an incentive.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, how long has it been since you fed? And she's like, 2 days ago. He's like, oh, okay. He says, she's like, and if I refuse, he says, well, you can get some water down, True Blood.
True Blood. Mm-hmm. What a choice.
Right. So he's like, we have a living donor program, LDP. And so you can pick what you want. So she's like, okay. He's like, well, okay, do you want male or female? She's like, female.
Yeah.
And so he calls in some chai.
Some chai.
So she comes in, and when she comes in a robe, Pam is like, oh, okay, all right, well, start asking questions then.
Mm-hmm.
So he asks her, what value do you place on human life?
And she's her answer was good.
Yeah, I liked it too.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, what human?
Well, like, she said vampire or human.
Or yeah, what on life. And she right. says vampire or human. And he says human life. And then she says, what, human? Mm-hmm. And then he says, what about mine? And I'm thinking, well, that was stupid because she don't know you. You should have asked, like, some one of your kin folk or something.
Well, I didn't have a problem with that because, actually, I thought that was very clever of her. When he says, well, let's go with humans. She says, what human? He says, well, let's, what about me? And I thought that was really clever of her to keep asking, you know, like, okay, what kind, what kind? And then she says, you know. She let him know Eureka tuna fish.
And I care more about the tuna's life than yours.
Than yours. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And I thought that was really good. And he believed her, so she got to feed on some chai.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And he seemed fascinated, too.
Yeah.
And just the look in his eyes when he was watching Pam. This is what
he
I thought.
He looked excited to me.
Well, not only that, but this is what I thought. I thought, see, I bet you in the end he's going to ask her to turn him.
Oh. Well, I don't know.
Yeah, because he seems a little more than just fascinated.
Yeah, he looked fascinated. So then, mm-hmm. the next time we see them, she's talking to them about vampire nesting, mm-hmm. and how the more that they nest together, you know, the more bonded they get. And so... But she says, we don't believe it for a minute because as soon as if they're not the next day, mm-hmm. they could kill each other. So you just never know. Mm-hmm. So he asks, well, so then when you kill other vampires, you don't feel any remorse? And she's like, well, no, not really, you know. And he's like, well, how is that possible? She's like, you know, forever for you guys is just a little bitty short time to us. You like to wallow in pain and feel like you're... so tortured.
I like what she said, though.
Yeah.
Made sense. It made perfect sense.
So then he's...
Because she was she trying to tell him, look, y'all's lives are so pathetically short.
Yeah.
You know, where we live forever.
True.
So, you know, you have to get over things.
Well, and so then he says, so even... So what about your maker? How do you feel about him? She's like, well, he released me.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, oh, so how does that work? She's like, oh, you say some words. Poof, bam, you're done. And he's like, so how did that make you feel? And so then that's when she kind of goes into her speech. She's like, well,
mm-hmm.
he said, did you see it coming? And she said, nope, not at all. And when it happened, it hurt. But I got over it and moved on. And he's like, I don't think I believe you. And that's when you see in his face, I'm like, oh, shit. Mm-hmm. What does that mean, doctor?
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. In the meantime, Eric is ushered into the circular white room. And he and three other vampires are in there. And if you notice, though, it was cracking me up that none of the other vampires thought to stand on the red markings, except until Eric did it. That was cracking me up.
Well, I wouldn't have wanted to stand on the red markings.
No, but, I mean, it was obviously going to be some kind of test, torture,
right,
something.
Right, right, right.
You know, so.
Right.
And then, of course, when the balls came down, at first I thought, well, what? Are they going to explode or what? That's what I thought.
They want them to play racquetball?
Well, no, they wanted to see who was quick.
Right, exactly.
Who was the quickest. So
Eric just goes and picks one up and then...
Well, right. There's four people in that room, but there's only three balls. So the one that don't get a ball, they shoot
shot.
Him.
Yep.
Then they do it again. They drop two more balls. And Eric is so... But that's because he's 1,000 years old, so he's so smart.
And he's quick.
And he's quick. So he just reaches up and...
And gets it before it even hits the ground.
It don't even hit the ground.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So ends up him and the woman. And the last time... they're waiting for the balls to drop. Instead, these two panels open up with guns in
guns.
Them. So he quickly goes and gets the guns and shoots her before she could shoot him.
Because he's so quick.
Yep,
I mean, he's so quick.
Looking good the whole effing time.
I know. He looked good in them prison blues.
Well, in that scene, he had on still his black and black, and then he didn't have a shirt. He had a shirt unbuttoned.
Mm-hmm.
So he looked good. But then, yeah. So after that, they take him to Gen... I call it Gen Pop, which Gen they called it. Which I just love saying Gen Pop.
I got flashbacks to Oz.
That's as close as I
want
to get to Gen Pop, too, is saying the word Gen Pop.
Hey. Anyway.
Anywho, so he goes in there, and he asks everybody, I'm looking for a vampire named Pam, the Beaufort, blah, 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 whatever her four or five names are.
And her name was long.
And nobody says anything. And so then he shouts it, and they all start backing up from him. Which I think they could tell, this motherfucker is crazy, and he's old, and he's strong, and he's probably ruthless. Anyway, so then
that part's good.
Jessica arrives to Gen Pop and sees...
To the girl Gen Pop.
The girl side.
Yeah.
And sees Tara. So she goes and hugs Tara and says, oh my gosh, thank you for being here. I'm so glad you're here.
That was cute, though.
It was cute. And she's acting funny, so Tara's like, what is wrong with you?
She said,
I am so high.
She said, I trained four fairy girls.
So she tells Bill, or excuse me, she tells Tara about Bill and that maybe he shouldn't try, he shouldn't bother trying to save them because they're evil and maybe they deserve whatever they get coming to them because they're bad. And so Tara's trying to console her and people are looking at her funny. So then the next time we see them, they're getting like their ration of food, their True Blood ration. Tara drinks hers up, and Jessica, you know, we already know she has a problem with True Blood anyway.
Right.
Plus, she's full, probably. And so she tells...
Well, she's still high.
Yeah, she tells Tara, I don't want mine. Well, honey, all the rest of them start swarming.
They swarm on her!
And Tara's like, back that shit.
Tara dropped her fangs, and she did that hissing.
Yep.
You know, and she looked at them like... She was crazy.
I already know that one chick that was walking around there is going to be a prop.
Well, don't she look like Lilith to you with clothes on? That's what she looked like to me.
No.
Look like the same chick.
She just has dark hair. There's nothing else that looks like her.
Well, that's what I'm saying. She looked like the same one to me.
She's not. So, at this point, we see Willa being taken to a solitary room, and she passes Gen Pop and says, Tara!
I know.
And sees Tara in there. And so the guard's like, you're not going into general population. You're special. You're going into your own area.
Solitary.
And he's like, and let me know if you want to, you know, hook up or something.
No,
like,
what he said was, hey, if you're nice to me, I could be nice to you.
Yeah.
I made it with a whole lot of she-vampires. She-vamps or something like that, he says. He says, you know, like, I'll scratch your back, you lick my balls. I thought, you
nasty motherfucker.
And he wasn't even cute.
No.
Shit. And she says, man, if my father heard you talking to me like that, he said, hey, girl, yo. And now she needed to hear that, though. He said, your daddy's the one put you in here. I don't think he really cared.
But that was awful damn bold of him.
That was bold.
Knowing who her daddy is, you know? Mm-hmm. And knowing she's a vampire.
I know.
Because she could have been quick, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But anywho. Okay, so now we can get into the last scene with Eric. Sarah takes the governor to meet, and she introduces him to Steve. In that room.
Oh, yeah. She's telling the governor, I got a surprise for you.
Yeah.
Close your eyes. And he says, oh, I thought you were still kind of mad at me. She says, well, you know, we all make our little, have our moments and stuff, but I got a big surprise for you. So she take him in the room, in this theater room, and Steve Newland's standing there grinning.
Yeah.
Just a grinning. And so is Dr. Overlark.
Yeah.
And then that Dr. Psychiatrist dude is in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's your gay ex-husband? And so Steve says, oh, but Governor, we have a show for you. Why don't you come in and take a seat? You know, so he goes in there.
They open up the window.
The little visual window.
And there's Eric. And he's like, ooh, you got him.
And what did Sarah say? Yeah, we got it. Like, oh, she neglected to say he turned himself in.
Right.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So anyway, so the governor gets on the microphone and is like, oh.
Well, Dr. Overlock says, you want to talk to him?
Yeah.
You know, so yeah.
So Erica, of course, is taunting the doctor. Oh, governor.
Mm-hmm.
Governor, how are you?
And how's your daughter?
Yeah, how's your daughter? And the governor's like, you bastard. Mm-hmm. You took her from me, and now I had to put her in this camp. And to me, Eric looks surprised.
He looks surprised.
That he took his daughter to the camp.
Yep.
And so I think it took us back to, or took me back to our conversation last week, where he thought that him turning the daughter and going, her going home, the governor would just instantly go, okay, you're a vampire now, I'll stop torturing vampires, I'll stop doing all this stuff to vampires,
mm-hmm.
and stuff.
Hmm.
Because he seemed surprised that he put her in the camp.
Yeah, he seemed very surprised. Although, I mean, he wanted her to be inside somewhere because he was going to use her.
But like I just said, Eric, I think, thought that the governor would say, oh, my daughter's a vampire now, I'll stop persecuting vampires.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah, it could be.
So
anyway.
You don't listen well, Sister J.
Anyway.
Anywho, so at this point, they open up a side panel, and there's a stake there. And so Eric's like, okay, well, bring somebody in here for me to kill.
Yeah.
And they open up the dough, and there's Pam.
Yeah, but you're missing all the stuff that's going on in the room. In the room, because the governor's saying, okay, is this all y'all got, you know? What are you here to show me? And so that's when she says, or Sarah says, you know, open up the other one. And that's when we see Pam.
Right.
I thought, ooh.
No. When I saw that, I was like, oh, no.
Hell no.
Yeah, I did not want to see any of that.
I didn't want to see them fight or nothing.
No.
So, okay, let's take care of Alcee next.
No, we're skipping that shit.
Oh.
Okay. I cannot talk about that. I can't even.
Okay, well, I'll do it.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, Lord. Okay, Alcee.
We don't need to. Everybody saw the show.
Yeah, but we're going to talk about it anyway. We should talk about everybody, don't you think? Okay, we can skip it.
You go ahead. I'll just be sitting here.
Well, we get this really dumb seed with Alcee and Jackson in this club called the Unfriendly Possum. That is some country shit. Anyway, and Alcee's trying to question people about, you know, if they saw Sam, and he's traveling with this light-skinned black woman and a little child, a little girl. Have y'all seen anybody like that? And, you know, of course they say, nah, you know, I haven't seen nobody like that. Then the next time we see Sam and Nicole in this motel room, she's putting on her clothes. She's acting all funny. And I'm thinking, well, it's kind of late for you to act funny now. You done screwed the dude. You know, meaning Sam. So Sam gets up and he says, oh, I'm sorry, I drank too much. And she's looking at him like, well, don't be saying you're sorry. You know, like, oh, you were sorry that we was together. That's the way I took it anyway.
I ain't talking about them either.
Anyway.
I'm through. I can't.
Anyway, so she's whining. She's in there whining, talking about, now I know. You know, I wanted to know what it would be like to be a shifter, and now I know. You're always running, always being scared you're going to die. And I'm thinking, what the hell did you think, woman? You know? Anyway. So.
Sister Jay, we don't even need to go through that. The Alcee shit was stupid.
It was.
The Sam and Nicole, I can't even watch. It was stupid. And I'm through.
Yeah.
So can we go on to finishing up Andy?
Okay, yeah. Let's finish up Andy.
So, they're at home, and he's watching little Fabie sleep, and Holly comes in,
That was sad.
Yes, this whole scene is sad.
It was so sad.
Holly comes in and he tells her that she said that it was Jessica that killed the sisters.
That's what he tells her.
I just said that.
Oh, he's talking about she.
No, he said to Holly, she told me, meaning his daughter, told me that Jessica's the one that killed them.
Yep.
Not Bill. And Holly says, Jessica, well, she's so nice. And Andy gets pissed. Nice, she killed my daughters.
But he also tells her, and Bill was taking, she said that Bill was taking their blood, doing some tests on it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, he's upset and he wants to go kill Bill. So he gets his gun. And so Holly stops him and she's like, look, he is way stronger than you. You are not going to win. You will end up killed. And then your baby girl will not have anyone.
Anyone at all.
At all. So.
I liked Holly in this whole scene, though.
I did too. Well, I always like her. But,
yeah.
So he goes and sits down and kind of breaks down. And she says, look, we're going to call off the search party. And as far as anybody's going to know, the other girls went home to their mama.
Yeah.
And that's when he really
breaks. That was smart thinking, though.
Yeah. That's when he breaks down and it's like, I can't just not do anything. I just can't.
Yeah.
And
I felt bad for him.
I felt bad. And so she kind of hugs him and lets him cry, which, you know, he just needed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It was sad. That was a sad, sad scene.
That was very, very sad.
Yeah.
You know, so. Okay, let's get to the part that I really, really thought was the stupidest thing, but...
Go ahead.
That's Terry. Good Lord. Oh, crazy-ass Terry. Then contacted one of his old Marine buddies and asked him to kill him. I want you to kill me. I tried to do it, but I couldn't pull the trigger.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, Terry. Well, you crazy-ass.
He is crazy.
He is so crazy.
This didn't bother me.
Oh, I didn't like the whole scene. I just...
Well, I mean,
the guy is, the guy named Justin, his friend that he contacted, he was acting crazy and weird the whole time. No, really. I'm sorry, but he creeped me out.
He was creepy.
He creeped me out because he was just so,
yeah, he was creepy.
He was creepy.
Yep, he was.
And even when Arlene came over there, oh, who's this? And... So Terry had no choice but to introduce him. This is Justin, whatever. Well, how do y'all know each other? He was just creepy.
He was.
And then after Arlene said, oh, okay. She said, well, you know, I don't mean to be rude, but Big John really needs you in the kitchen, Terry. But then, so after that guy agreed to kill Terry, and he's talking about, yeah, I'll do it. I'll do it for free. You don't have to pay me. Creepy! He just creeped me out. Something about that guy. I thought to myself, oh, Lord. And when Terry said, okay, give me a couple of days to get my affairs in order, and then I don't want to know what's coming, I thought, oh, shit.
Yep.
Here we go.
I did, too.
Here we go.
I didn't like it, but I mean...
I didn't like it.
I didn't like it just because of what it was saying.
Yeah,
but,
I mean, that's what I mean.
It didn't bother me.
Oh, I didn't like that whole scene. That dude was too creepy.
He was creepy, though.
Mm.
Okay, so to finish up, we go back to Sookie. And she is going into Merlot's. And Lafayette is hilarious.
Oh, I love Lafayette in this whole thing.
Well, hey there, sugar boo-boo. Now,
I know.
Now, what are you doing here at your place of work? Because I know
it ain't for work. And she gave him look like, all right.
I love though that they acknowledge it.
I know
this chick ain't been to work in I don't know how long.
I don't know, but hey, she ain't been to work.
Hey there, sugar boo-boo.
Mm-hmm.
So she tells him about Ben Orlo and what he told her about the parents and that he loves her. And Lafayette
is just too cool, though.
Yeah, it's so funny. He's like, girl, you are just a magnet for this crap. And she's like, you know, but I believe him. But the only way to know for sure is I need to get to the truth, and I need your help to do that.
Yeah.
So,
Lafayette is awesome, though.
The next time we see them, they're in her house with some of her stuff, parents' stuff, and pictures, and he's trying to conjure up their spirits or souls or whatever so that he could talk to them. And so...
But that's the funny part, though. When you're talking about, okay, I'm looking for Corbett and Michelle Stackhouse. And then he was talking about, no. And what did he say? He said, no, this ain't for you. I'm looking for the Stackhouses, you know.
Yeah.
And then once the spirits come and the lights, the candles go out, the lights are flickering and and shaking. And he see, and there's a wind blowing in the room. And he says, ooh, they hear. And then he tells them, calm the fuck down. And they just calm it away. That was hilarious, though. That was
so
funny.
Then he says, okay, Sookie, go ahead. And so then Sookie, you know, saying, hey, you know, I've met this vampire named Warlow. He says that he has, that I have been, you know, what's the word? Bequeathed to him, or what was it?
Promised.
Yeah, promised to him. And he told me that you were trying to kill me, and that's why he killed y'all. Is that true? So Lafayette says, well, they're saying something, but I can't tell what it is. I can't make it out. So she takes his hand, and we get a flashback to her parents talking to Warlow, telling them about this pact that him and the great-grandfather, whoever.
No, it was Corbett's father, John.
That's right. Excuse me.
So it was Sookie's grandfather.
I think it was his grandfather.
No, because when the wife said, I thought it was just weird. And he says, no, this was a pact between John Stackhouse or something. And she said, ooh, I always knew he was weird. And Corbett says, don't be talking about my daddy.
Oh.
That's what he said.
Anywho, so Benorlo says, well, she's not weird. She's special. Sookie is special. And that when she comes of age, I can make her immortal and she won't have to worry about dying. She won't have to, she'll have a long life, and I'll do that. And so then they show the father taking little bitty Sookie out to the car.
He done gave her a bunch of NyQuil. That's what he said. He gave her a bunch of NyQuil.
And take her out to the car, and the mama's saying, what you gonna do? He's like, well, we're gonna end this once and for all.
Mm-hmm.
We can't let her become this. And they drive off, and so then Sookie comes back too, and it's like, it's true, you did try to kill me.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, Corbett takes over Lala, which I'm tired of that shit happening.
Yeah, he kind of ingested this black smoke, and
it happens all the time. So I'm like, okay, Lala needs to learn how to control it. I mean, I knew it. I know it had to happen for the story to go the way it went.
Yeah,
but why can we not get that shit to quit happening?
I don't know, but anyway.
So anyway, he takes over Lala's body, snatches Sookie up because he wants to finish the job of killing her because he thinks that she loves the vampire now.
Yeah, that's what he says.
And so then puts her ass in the trunk, ties her up.
I was saying, oh my God.
I know, I did not see that shit coming.
I did not see that coming.
Well, I didn't see the whole your parents was trying to kill you thing coming.
No, me neither.
At all.
Mm-hmm.
And so then take her to the lake and drowning her ass face down in the water.
In the water.
And all I had to say was, I hope that was not a real lake for they put her face in.
That'd be nasty.
Yes.
That'd
I'm
be
hoping
real
it was
nasty.
A pool of clean water.
I'm sure it was since there was a camera, obviously, up under there.
Right,
so, because we could see it. But and then it ended. Man, I did not see that coming at all.
Me neither.
At all.
Me neither.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what the shit?
And when he was putting her in the trunk, and she was saying, Lafayette, Lafayette, help me. And Lafayette looked at her and said, he can't hear you. I said, oh Lord.
Yep.
That's
yep.
the daddy. Daddy's going to do it.
Corbett.
Mm-hmm. So that was anyway, a good episode, though.
I really liked the episode.
And I enjoyed
it. And then the best, well, I won't say the best part, but then after she's screaming and she's drowning in the water, we hear, fuck the pain away.
I know.
I mean, that song, I had never heard it before.
That was
But I was
stupid.
Like, okay, I need to download that
song. No, that was a stupid song.
Any song with fuck in it, you know, you need to get.
Oh, Lord. Anyway, okay.
Okay, well, we had some feedback, and one in particular from Facebook, Diana,
okay,
wrote us on our Facebook page. I wanted to make sure we read it when we got to this episode. She says, absolute favorite line from True Blood was when Sarah Newland says to Jason, "My body is a GD temple, and you defiled it with your vampire-loving penis."
Pecker, she said.
Pecker, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, hopefully I got that quoted right, but seriously, she's a total bitch.
She is.
She also cracked me up with the one about when a girl comes to you in a black teddy, you unwrap her.
I know.
Something to that effect. My memory fails me at the moment. Keep up the awesome podcast. You've quickly become my favorites. I love your wit, sarcasm, humor, and most of all, your laughs. I sit at work in a silent room full of people giggling with my headphones on. Thank you so much. And that's from Diana.
Thank you, Diana, for that wonderful little message on Facebook. That is great. And yeah, what I was cracking up too when Sarah Newland, she said, when a woman comes to you in black lingerie, you unwrap her. And I'm thinking, that's why she had that little short raincoat on. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Lord have mercy. Anyway.
Okay.
Thank you, Diane.
Okay. So then we get on to our feedback, our email feedback.
Okay.
The first one is from Bunny.
Hey, Bunny.
Hey, sisters. Hope all is well and looking forward to this podcast. I could not believe last night's episode. Give me a break. Who is writing this stuff? Big Bad Warlow is a cream puff. Come on. Tara and Eric turn themselves in. Why? Makes no sense. We finally get to see some more Lafayette, and he is trying to kill Sookie. I find it so hard to believe that Sookie's parents or father wanted to kill her. Could they not come up with a better storyline? I know True Blood is campy, but some of the plot lines are just stupid. Now, Eric has to fight Pam. We know that is not going to end in one of them dying. What the fuck is going on? As you can see, I'm getting frustrated with the way the story is going. I will hang in there because I love the sisters and all the people who write in. Till next week, as always, Bunny.
Thank you, Bunny, email. And, you know, Bunny, I mean, I'm liking it. First of all, everybody take a drink. I think it was actually pretty smart of Eric and Tara to turn themselves in, because yes. Eric is very confident, just like the governor's always telling him. Eric's very confident. He's 1,000 years old. He knows how to get in and out of situations. He wanted to go and find Pam.
Yeah.
That's what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
So that's the whole reason. So for me, that storyline is working quite well, because that's who Eric is. I mean, he released her and stuff, but he did that for her good, not for his benefit, you see? Yeah. But he still cares about Pam.
I will say, though, I agree with Bunny on the parents part, because...
Okay, yeah, that's a little hokey.
And the Warlow part. Now, we had a hint 2 episodes ago, maybe, I think, when he saved Jason. He gave Jason his blood so Jason wouldn't be hurt.
Yeah.
So that's when our first clue, well, 2 or 3 clues, that he didn't really want to hurt them, because he could have done that.
Yeah.
He had another reason for being there. So it doesn't bother me that he's a cream puff and didn't really want to kill her. What got me, though, was when they did say, okay, the parents are trying to kill you. And I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah.
How does that make sense in the last couple of seasons that we've seen? Last season, the parents were visiting Jason
all the time.
All the time. And in none of those did they say, hey, Jason, go kill your sister.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's just strange.
I don't know.
That they're now making it the parents that did it.
I don't know. I just, and now that you mention it, though, since Bernardo didn't want to hurt anyone, let's say, and he did help Jason heal, how come he went and killed up all them fairies? In Fairyland, in the Fairy Club.
See, we don't have an explanation for
that. Yeah, I mean, because he killed them all.
Well, I think what they're going to say to explain that is that was his dark side coming out that he doesn't like. Hmm. That he can't control.
Yeah, you know? Could be. But yeah, we need some explanation.
We need some explanation. Yeah. For real.
All right. Thank you, Bunny.
Thank you, Bunny. And yeah, I don't believe Eric and Pam fight. I don't think that's going to happen.
No.
They're going to figure out a way. They can't have them die. But when it did show on the, when it did happen on the show, I was like, what the F are they going to do?
I know.
How are they going to get out of this?
That's a cliffhanger, though.
That's a good cliffhanger.
That's a good cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Our next email is from Manny.
Hey, Manny.
Hey, Manny. Hey, hey, ladies. First of all,
yep.
Take a drink.
Thanks, please.
I hope there are going to be a lot of first of alls, because this latest episode had me rebelling, excuse me, had me refilling my shot glass every few minutes. First of all, I'd like to start by answering MK's drinking game question. Well, MK, I am a baker by trade, and a primary benefit is that I don't have to deal with people, and thus, I listen to my iPod 8 hours a day. So to answer your question, of course I participate in the drinking game, burn bread and all. Just kidding. Okay, Manny, where are you at? Because I might need some free baked goods.
Hey, just don't make no croissants.
Don't make them the way Brandy did.
Woo! Yeah, we could use a baker maybe.
Actually, ladies, I'm kind of lost as to where to start. I feel like the season just got off to a start because it started out so slow, which is usually weird for True Blood. But I'm just annoyed. I'm gonna try very hard not to be a sourpuss, though. First of all, I thought the scene with Ginger was brilliant. Oh, okay, he's talking about
yeah,
the other one. I was waiting since last week to hear her scream, and I couldn't help but laugh out loud
at
what she did with her scene.
I know. I love Ginger.
I do have a question, though. Eric told Willa that he didn't take making her into a vampire lightly, and that turning her in order to send her back to the governor was not his sole purpose. Wasn't it? What other purpose could he have? Pam begged to be turned, and that didn't faze him, but this girl gets the opportunity. I don't even think he's attracted to Willa or want a progeny to train with everything going on. That's like getting pregnant while filing for foreclosure. It's incredibly bad timing.
Okay.
Do you have experience with that, Manny? That's an awful that's an awful specific example.
Analogy, yeah.
But in the interest of keeping this email short-ish, I'm not surprised at all with the season. I, for one, was thinking along with Sister J that Ben was a herald of Warlove.
Yeah.
But when I saw him wandering around the fairy open field, I knew he was one and the same. Not surprised. Billith controls Warlow as Lilith is Warlow's maker. Not surprised at all. Pam's psychoanalysis with the shrink only to then be pitted in battle against Eric. No surprise. And also knowing they will both be spared from battling each other based on the vision Bill had where they were all burning. But the thing that really made me walk away from the TV was them writing the Stackhouse parents as trying to kill Sookie.
That's what you said, see?
Well, that's what Bunny was saying.
Yeah.
And Daddy Stackhouse trying to do it all over again in Lafayette's body. Now, I don't know exactly what happened in the books. Sorry, Sister J, for using the B word. I know how much you don't like the unnecessary profanity. But if this is coming from source material, Charlaine Harris needs to share whatever she's drinking. It's lazy, lazy, lazy writing.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Bud storyline all over again.
There you go.
Taking a good character that's no longer on the show and bringing them back as the evil nemesis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sorry, I'm salty again, so here's a positive. I'm glad Alcide is no longer a human taxicab, but if he says I'm the Packmaster one more time, I'm going to call Walter Frey on him. There you go. Walter Frey knows how to kill a wolf. That's right.
Ooh. Oh, that's a good one, Manny. That's a good one.
Everybody,
woo-wee.
Take a little bit for your homies.
Yeah, pour out a little bit for your
pour
homies.
Pour out a little bit for Rob and Catelyn.
And Lady Talissa.
And Lady Talissa. And the baby.
And the baby.
Okay, one last thing, ladies. And if y'all don't know what we're talking about,
go listen to
shame
our
on
yeah,
you.
Yeah, shame on y'all.
You
go
need
listen.
To go watch Game of Thrones
and listen to our podcast.
If you do not know what the
That's
hell we're
right.
talking about.
Okay, come on.
shame.
Finish his email.
One last thing, ladies. I have a prediction that's based on a very, very small spoiler.
Okay.
Oh, shit. Manny.
Uh-oh.
The spoiler was that a major character who brings the community together will die this season. As far as the humans go, that could be Sam or Andy. And with the soups, I would guess Jessica or Tara. But I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Terry's platoon buddy will miss and hit Lafayette. Lala quite literally brings the community together because he's a medium. Of course, Holly would be there with a gun handy to shoot the military guy because that shooting range scene can't be for nothing.
Yeah, that's good.
But if that were to happen, Terry wouldn't be able to live with himself. Mm-hmm. Hell, he already can't. Mm-hmm. Or on the other hand, the way the writing is going, it'll be Terry who gets killed off. Laugh out loud. Love the cast, as it's way better than the show. Me, our podcast.
Yeah.
And I'm still petitioning for you to do American Horror Story.
Not gonna happen.
No. Sorry.
I don't watch it. And I don't plan to watch it.
Also, Sister K, well, I might watch it if it's not in that creepy-ass asylum.
Horror is not my thing. I don't read it. I don't watch it.
I used to watch it, but now I have a problem sometimes watching it without, you know, getting scared.
That's just not my thing.
Also, Sister K, I will reply on Facebook to me not liking Perez Hilton, a.k.a. Tyrion Lannister, as I saw him this past weekend. What? Thanks, Manny.
You know what? Thank you, Manny, for that wonderful
email.
Why
are you calling Tyrion?
Wait.
Hilton.
Wait, but you know what, Manny? I'm with you. I can't stand that little round punk, Perez Hilton. Somebody needs to beat the crap out of him.
I don't like Perez Hilton either. But
oh, somebody, he needs to beat down with the shit he says.
Why is he saying, a.k.a. Tyrion Lannister? So what, obviously what
because
he's
I
saying.
Guess he's trying to say he looked like him.
Okay, now.
Because he's a little guy.
Me and you going to have to battle. Don't be talking about Peter Dinklage.
Thank you, Maddie, for that
email.
That's great.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, come on.
Okay. And I don't know about your prediction about who gets killed, but as we're late, we kind of already know. But
yeah, come on.
Yeah, that would have been awful if that actually happened.
Yeah, they can't get rid of Lafayette. They better not.
Okay, our next email is from Aaron.
Hey, Aaron.
Ooh, twice in a row, Aaron.
Cool. Come on,
hey,
Aaron.
Hey, sisters. I'm so ready for the double podcast because a lot of shit has been going down on True Blood.
Yep.
First of all, I knew Bill was going to use Warlow's blood eventually.
Yep.
Bill is so damn shady. This, I have Lilith's memories now, blah, blah, blah. Shit reminds me of the fourth season when Marnie was possessed by Antonia.
Yep.
I am so over it. Y'all did that already. Move on.
I know it. That's a good point.
Warlow, hurry up and kill Billeth already. She is getting on my nerves. Since I'm crazy, I was already sold on Warlow, Benlow, whoever. she says, I was already sold on him last week. Now I feel better knowing he was saving Sookie from her evil-ass parents. Mm. He can daywalk and eat fried chicken. He's a lot better than any other dude she's dated.
Ain't that the truth?
I'm not counting Eric because he's too good for her.
Yeah.
And he's mine. Smiley face. I do kind of think that Warlow does have an evil side. He was all cute and protective when he was talking to the Stackhouses. But last season, when he was on the bridge, he looked all kinds of scary.
Didn't he, though?
Maybe he banished Niall because he plans to go all evil and try to turn Sookie. I honestly don't care if he does turn her. Go for it. Maybe then Sookie will be interesting. Poor Lafayette. Always getting inhabited by these crazy-ass ghosts. We need Jesus to show up again and help him control this shit.
Thank you.
Thank you. You can't have ghosts jumping into him whenever they want.
Exactly.
Or better yet, maybe Ruby Jean can help him out.
Thank you.
I know. Really, though, I'd be happy to see Ruby Jean anytime for any reason.
Me too.
But seriously, sisters, why is everybody using Lafayette all the time? Sam's got him running his bar. Sookie's got him summoning her parents. He is too damn nice to these people.
Yep.
He did have me cracking up with what he said to Sookie, though. what are you doing here? I know it's not to work.
What are you doing at your place of work? Because I know it ain't
work. Yeah. She says, oh, snap, you know that's the truth. What the hell is Eric doing? I've seen a lot of people online saying Eric is a jerk and doesn't care about Pam and Tara. But I don't think that's true.
That's not true.
That's not true.
Why are they saying that shit?
Because Eric has been yelling and shit and yoking people up and shit. But that's not true.
That's not true.
She says, but I don't think that's true. I think he knows how seriously crazy the authority was and how crazy the humans are this season. If he seems mean, it's just because he wants them to understand what is really going on. Some serious fucking shit. That's what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't get him and Tara locked up to save Pam if he didn't care about her. And I swear, if he is forced to kill Pam next week, I'm going to lose my shit. Overall, I thought this was a good episode. Barely saw the werewolves or Sam, thank goodness. Hallelujah.
Yeah, but we saw them, though.
We're not talking about them.
Okay.
And the next
come
one,
on.
We ain't talking about them either. I don't know what Terry Belfler is doing, but I don't like it.
Yeah.
And poor Andy. Thank goodness he has Holly, because he'd probably go get himself killed getting revenge.
Yep, he would.
Not that he shouldn't have revenge, but don't go getting yourself killed. I'm sorry for the long-ass email, but things are getting good this season. Almost reminds me of the good old days in season 3 and Eric in that blue sweater. I'll just leave you with that, sisters. Take care, Erin.
Thank you, Erin, for that long-ass email,
thank you,
girl.
Erin.
Ooh, that's long-ass. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't have a problem with the writing, though, and stuff. I liked all of it. I like this whole episode.
The only thing that is a little bit weird, though, is the parents all of a sudden being,
crazy. I think it's, to me, I think it's entirely plausible.
Yeah.
To me. So I didn't have a problem with that. Not at all.
All right. So let's get on to our next piece of feedback. It looks like it is an audio file.
Okay.
Let's play it now.
Hi, sisters and Sister Speak podcast family. This is Toya from Delaware. It's time for humans to bite back.
Oh, Toya, thank you so much for that tagline. That's awesome.
Thank you, Toya.
Wow, end up in Delaware. Woo!
Love the tagline.
Love it.
Love it. Thank you for sending that in.
Yeah, that's great.
Okay, our next email is from Jazzy.
Hey, Jazzy.
Hey, sisters. So glad to see True Blood got renewed for another season.
Yep.
I would really miss listening to your podcast after. Let's get started.
Okay.
The biggest surprise of this episode to me was that Lilith is Warlow's maker.
Mm-hmm.
We had a feeling that Ben was Warlow, but it was nice to have something happen in this storyline that wasn't obvious. It was really interesting in the flashback that Super Bush was able to show so much restraint against killing him.
Mm.
Normally, vamps go crazy tasting fairy blood like Jessica and Russell did. Mm-hmm. The Sookie storyline in this episode was a little odd to me. I was really glad to see my Lala, but I miss Lafayette being himself instead of him being possessed by someone else. In the flashback, Sookie's dad just coming to the conclusion that she needed to die after one chat with Warlow makes me think that he was a little touched in the head to begin with, or just not bright like Jason.
Could be.
I'm really curious to see how Sookie gets out of this one. The one thing I know for sure is her magic coochie can't save her now. I wonder if Ben will save her since Bill has to be asleep and he can daywalk. If that does happen, I really hope he doesn't kill Lafayette. I was so sad to see that 3 of Andy's daughters were dead, but happy to see that one is alive. Maybe Andy will give her a name now since there's just the one, but Morella did say make sure that one makes it to adulthood. I'm really glad that Holly was the voice of reason with Andy. I would have hated to see him get sucked dry of his blood in midair like Bill did that other chick.
Oh, yeah.
I know. And Morella said make sure at least half of them make it to adulthood.
Yeah, she did say that, didn't she?
So, he didn't quite make it. Nope. But Morrell ain't there either, so hey. Mm-mm. Not so sure it was the best idea for Eric and Tara to turn themselves in. They've only seen bits and pieces of what the humans are capable of. I hope Steve Newland is the first to die. I'm so... no. I am so mad that either Eric or Pam might die because of his stankiness. Stankin' ass.
Stanky.
I wish Pam hadn't told that shrink so much information.
Yeah.
Not that she isn't clearly in need of therapy, but her ass was telling everything.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think they must have... I think, honestly, that her information was just back up to what other vampires have already said.
To what Steve Newland told him, because he knows all the stuff.
Well, and they have millions of... Not millions. They have tons of vampires
in
there.
Yeah, that's
true. I'm sure the other vampires have told the same stuff.
Right. But especially with Newland, because he was all there with them.
Right.
You know?
So I don't think she's telling them anything
new. So why wouldn't Steve Newland have told them about Billeth?
He doesn't know. Because he wasn't there.
Oh, that's right. Because King Russell, he was with
Russell. Yeah, he doesn't know nothing about
all
that.
He just knows Russell gone. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's true. Because he was out there in that field with Russell when he, ate the elder fairy.
Yeah,
and then he ran off.
Nothing about anything with the authority.
Okay, that's true.
Or the latest stuff with the authority.
Yeah.
I did find it interesting that all the captive vampires had numbers on their outfits.
Yep.
I think that little white room was used to classify them by age and strength. I wonder how many number ones there are besides Eric and
Pam. I know.
And that one woman Tara and Jessica were talking to. Mm-hmm. You know what, Jazzy?
Yeah.
I didn't even think about
that. Oh, I did. I noticed the number one on his and Pam's.
I see.
But I didn't realize that would probably be the levels according to strength. Because we know Eric is strong. So... Thank you, Jazzy. That's really good.
See, I saw the numbers, but I didn't pay attention to them at all.
I did. And so the chick
that was following Jessica and Tara around, she had a one on, too?
She had a one on.
Oh, shit.
I know.
That ain't going to be good.
That ain't going to be good.
Good, Jazzy. You smart, girl.
That's good, Jazzy.
Why the hell is crazy-ass Terry trying to pay someone to kill him?
I know, crazy
He has killed so many people, but when it comes to killing someone to save his own life, he's ready to give up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to think Arlene might be better off without him. What happened to the fight he used to have?
I know.
That guy could surprise us all and call the cops on Terry's ass since Patrick was his friend, too.
Could be.
Yep.
But...
Last and yes, least, I really like Jurnee Smollett, but her character, Nicole, is the worst one on the show so far.
It is the worst one.
Season. Yes, it is.
She has the worst dialogue. She is the worst actor on this show.
Yep.
You got to give her something to work with, but they haven't given her nothing to work with. So she's delivering
bullshit.
Her lines like...
bullshit.
Yeah. And she's terrible at delivering the lines, though. I mean, it's terrible. It's terrible.
I really want Sam to feed her to the wolves and move on.
Yep.
His main priority should be Emma and keeping her safe like he promised.
Yep.
Not chasing some dumbass girl who was in over her head the moment she stepped in Sam's bar. Until next time, ladies, Jazzy.
Thank you, Jazzy, for that email. You bring up some good stuff, girl.
Very good stuff.
Very good comments.
I'm going to have to rewatch it again.
I did recognize.
Look at the numbers.
Yeah, I did realize they had numbers.
Because when Pam was in the therapy room, she's like, look, put me in the other room. And he's like, what other room? She's like, the fuck room. I'll fuck anybody, but I don't want to be in here doing no damn therapy. He says, well, that's for number threes, and you're number one or something. Or
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's interesting.
Hmm.
Okay, we have a voicemail, I think, from Jazzy also, so let's play that now.
Okay, cool.
Hey, sisters, it's Jazzy from Ohio. I was calling to say hey and to drop my little tagline. It's time for humans to bite back. Okay, I sent an email, so, it should be hearing or getting that out to you pretty soon, and hope to hear from you.
Oh, thank you, Jazzy.
Thank you, Jazzy, for that tagline. That's good, girl.
Awesome. Love hearing it.
Me too.
Love hearing it. All right. Our next email is from Paris.
Hey, Paris.
Well, hello, lovely ladies. Long time no here. Understandable, though, and just glad to have you back. Let's get it.
All right.
I'm having a bit of a hard time accepting the supposed idea that Sookie's parents were going to kill her to save her from the fake contract struck between Macklin and John Stackhouse. That reveal seemed completely out of left field, and I didn't enjoy it at all. But I guess I've got to write it out and see where it goes. At the very least, we're getting more Lafayette.
Mm-hmm.
One reveal I did absolutely love is that Bill, as the reincarnated Lilith, holds power as Maker over Warlow.
Yeah.
It was great to get that 3500 BC flashback of bad wig-wearing fairies.
I know. Those were some half of wigs.
And learn how Lilith and Warlow met. We now know that Warlow and Little Niall were from the same line of fairies, and he did spare him.
Yep.
Lilith turned Warlow as she foresaw that he could play a role in the survival of the vampire race. I guess I got my previous question answered on whether or not Warlow ever made any progeny himself. Judging by his hatred of Lilith and his vampire nature, I'm saying no.
No.
I think so, too. I think you're right. I'm going to be interested to see how Warlow attempts to deal with Billith in present day. Well, shit, he can't. I mean, this is the problem with that.
Yeah.
If Warlow is the progeny, he's not going to be able to do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And so this whole thing about maybe Warlow is going to save everyone from Billith, it's different now. It looks like Billith is going to use Warlow to save the vampires.
Well, but, I mean, we don't really know. That's what they're leading us maybe to think, but we don't really know because Lilith, as Lilith, she cannot walk around in the daylight like Warlow can.
No.
So, you know.
But she wasn't a fae either. That's why she wanted to turn a fae.
That's true.
Or that's why she turned him when she found him.
I don't know. That's going to be interesting.
The other thing I absolutely loved this episode was Vamp Camp, a.k.a. Vampire Oz.
Yeah. That's good. That's good.
The jumpsuits, the vicious looks, and the rapey inmates and prison staff.
That's right.
I was definitely feeling like I was watching a hyper-realized version of Oswald State Penitentiary.
That's right. I thought of Oz, too. I thought, okay.
Pam absolutely sold these scenes for me. That cold, calculating cool was back, especially in the therapy scene.
Yes.
Her monologue had me glued to the screen and hit the nail on the head of what it means to live, to endure as a vampire. When we say forever, we have to mean it. That's my girl, Pam.
Yep.
Now it seems Billith's vision is coming true at an alarming pace with all our main vamps gathered in one place in captivity. We know what's destined to happen. It remains to be seen what he can do to change it. Yep.
Yep.
Finally, Andy's storyline this season is really tugging at the heartstrings. I've always liked his character, but he has really grown to be one of my favorites over the course of the series. I agree.
I like Andy.
Seeing him and Holly broken up over his daughters was a really powerful scene.
Mm-hmm.
I'm feeling a sense of dread for him because I know he's going to go after Bill, and it can only end one way.
He's going to do something.
He's
going to try to do something.
Speaking of dread, the scene with Terry and his old army buddy also got under my skin.
Thank you. I'm glad somebody else. Yeah.
When Arlene walked up between them, I couldn't shake the feeling that somehow she is going to be caught up in the crossfire.
Mm.
Loving this season. Did you hear the news? True Blood has been picked up for season 7.
Yep.
If they keep up this level of storytelling, I look forward to another year. Paris.
Thank you, Paris.
Thank you, Paris.
And I agree, though. I am enjoying this season. I think they're doing a really good job.
Yes.
Really good job. So, you know, so far,
the last, 2-3 episodes I've really enjoyed.
And I mean, Sookie is not whiny at all.
Nope.
Not at all. She's like, take charge person again.
That's what they should make her. Instead of having all this damsel in distress.
Exactly. Back. So, and you know, Tara is doing really good also. You know, she's accepted that, Eric's my little granddaddy. So, you know, she follows him and you know, tells him stuff. And he tells her how to, you know, what to do and stuff.
Yeah.
So, I'm liking it.
Thank you so much, Paris. Our next email is from Shalita.
Hey, Shalita.
She says, "Hey, sisters, had to do a voicemail this week. This season is so crazy, but loving it. Hope you can make sense out of my ramblings. Things I forgot to mention. Did you recognize Pam Shrink? That was Otis from The Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah!
I forgot that was Otis! He also was Otis!
He was on The Walking Dead! Yeah, I forgot that, Shalita.
Shalita, you know. He survived getting the shaft from Shane.
That's right! That's right!
Okay, let me play her voicemail, and then she's got a P.S.
Okay.
Hey, sisters. This is Shalita from Philly. This is probably late, because I was so stunned by the ending of last week's episode that I really haven't had a chance to formulate an opinion other than they better not kill my Eric and Pam. I think Sookie's going to Fairyland or something, going through the water like that, because that's how those fairies did it season 3. Poor Jessica. She's all just confused. Though I'm glad Tara's there to look out for her. Poor Andy. Oh, that was a heartbreaking scene with him and Holly. Nothing about the werewolves. I don't even pay attention. And unfortunately, Sam's associated with them, so it's not much to pay attention to there either. I think that I'm hoping that the Stackhouse Daddy was not trying to kill his only daughter, and that he really was trying to send her to the fairyland. I'm hoping. I'm really, really, really hoping, because that was just disturbing if he was trying to kill his baby. Glad Jason's head is back on straight. And that was so funny with him and Sarah Newland. Just thinking about that makes me laugh. And could care less about Warlow, Benlow, whatever the hell his name is. I'm done with that storyline. He and Bill are too similar to me, except for he's way better looking. And just, I'm done with that. Though I'm really proud of Sookie for kicking him out, well, trying to kick him out of her house. But it's disturbing. He's been watching her for years, for centuries, millennium, whatever. That's stalking, dude. Stalking. It's not romantic. It's stalking. Okay. That's about it. Clearly, they got the rankings right at the vampire camp, because Eric and Pam are number one. And they'll find a way to get them and everybody in their family out. And Jess. And Jason will probably help them. That's all I have to say for now. I can't wait for your podcast. Till next time, Shalita.
Oh, thank you, Shalita, for that wonderful voicemail.
Thank you, Shalita.
And you know what? I like the fact that Jessica is in Gen Pop, and at least she does have Tara there to help her, though.
Yeah.
That was a really good scene, I thought, when she was holding her hand, saying, "Do you believe
in the devil
the devil and stuff?" You know, that whole conversation I really did like. And, you know, I mean, I realize that the Alcide and Sam little storylines, they're annoying right now, and with that Nicole girl. But, I mean, they have to move it along, so, you know.
No.
I mean, it is a little annoying, but I don't mind, and because I like Sam.
Again, this season, they're pissing me off because they're doing what they did. Well, no, it's a little bit different. But now I don't even want to see Sam. And I like Sam. He's one of my favorite characters.
I like Sam.
I don't even want to see him because of that Nicole chick.
Yeah, well, I just overlook her, though, because I like seeing Sam. So, you know. And, yeah, I'm with you, too. They better not be having too much havoc with our Eric and Pam.
No.
Mm-mm. They better not. So, yeah. Thank you, Shalita.
Okay, so she has a P.S. She says, "Until next time, Shalita. P.S. Lots of goodies out of the San Diego Comic-Con. New Walking Dead trailer and a new black guy." Ooh. Now, I'm really worried. See, I saw that. I saw the trailer, and it was, have you seen it, Sister Jay?
I haven't seen it.
Oh, my goodness. It's crazy.
Okay.
But I did notice the other dude. Now, I'm really worried about Tyrese and his sister, because you know they got a black person quota.
Don't let out.
Congratulations to Game of Thrones on their Emmy nominations, including Tyrion and Khaleesi.
Yay!
I tried to keep this short this time, and sorry if y'all hear my radio in the background. Whoops, I didn't hear no radio.
I didn't hear nothing.
Maybe we just wouldn't listen.
Yeah.
We were listening to your words, not the radio. No, I am so excited about The Walking Dead. I hope Tyrese makes it.
Yeah, but we know they have a black guy quota problem. So if they're introducing another black guy, that means Tyrese is...
Well, there's a scene in the trailer that you're like, oh, no. How is Tyrese going to get out of this? So,
uh-oh.
You got to go watch it if okay. I haven't seen it.
I'll go watch it.
Yeah, I'm very excited about The Walking Dead coming back.
Okay.
Thank you, Shalita.
Thank you, Shalita.
Okay, our next piece of feedback is from Emily.
Hey, Emily.
I think this is our last one. Hey, sisters, I'm going to try to keep this short because I know it will be a longer podcast already. First off, most of how I felt about this episode was summed up on that 19 OMG moments of True Blood link. For all you Facebook fans out there, go check it out if you'd like. It's pretty funny and true. It was true.
Wow.
After trying some Shiner beer, like Sister J had mentioned... Sorry, I had the light version, Sister J. It was still pretty tasty.
Okay, cool.
I will make it a point to try some of the beverages she suggests when I watch the show or listen to the podcast. This time around, I'm drinking some Yellowtail Moscato.
Uh-oh.
I'm keeping my eye out for that sweet red Rue. I just haven't found it in the store, but it sounds delicious.
Mm.
Anyways, on to the episode. I think the actor who played Andy has had a chance to step up his acting chops, and I am glad he is getting a good storyline.
Yeah.
I just hope he doesn't kill Jessica. Well, he got to get to her first. She's,
right.
You know, I don't think he's going to get to her. That might be what saves her.
Mm-hmm.
Terry, on the other hand, I do not like this suicide agreement drama. I like Terry for the most part, but I'm almost hoping his butt gets killed so I don't have to watch any more dumb plot lines. Aw, Emily.
Aw.
Even though Allseed's scenes was annoying, yet again, I am amused at the name of the bar, the Unfriendly Possum.
Yeah.
It seems like the type of place that would fry up whatever it found on the adjacent highway.
Yeah.
As soon as I saw Pam escorted in a room with a leather couch, I knew what was going on and laughed when she realized she was in therapy.
I know.
That scene was hilarious. It was. It was too funny.
It was good.
I'm glad Lala got more screen time, but annoyed that he had to play a different person yet again.
Mm-hmm.
Nell Saun does a good job acting out those other characters, though. Damn, Sookie, when you are being drowned, screaming underwater is at the top of the dumbass list.
Yeah, because then your mouth is open.
Mouth is full of water. I'm sure nearly everyone else, that was for effect.
Yeah.
Although, I bet if you were getting held underwater, you'd scream too. I'm sure nearly everyone else agrees with me that if either Pam or Eric gets killed, I'm going to protest and quit the show. Unless Pam's spirit would reside in Lala. Now that would be funny.
That'd be good.
Did anyone see Nora this episode?
Yeah.
I was looking for her the whole time. We didn't.
No, we didn't.
I might have missed her during a kitchen trip. I wonder if she will go help out Eric and the other vamps.
Hmm.
Well, that's all I have this week. Have a good week, sisters and other viewers. Emily.
Thank you, Emily, that email.
Thank you, Emily.
Yeah, I forgot. Yeah, we didn't see Nora in this episode.
No, we didn't see her at all. Mm-mm.
But she's there, though.
Yep, she's there.
She's there somewhere.
Yep. All right. Well, that was all the feedback we had. Thank you all for sending that in. I know it was kind of confusing because we were late. But
yep.
We're caught up now. Woo, woo. If you would like to send us an email for the next episode, you can do so at sisterspeak@gmail.com. You can also chat with us on Facebook at facebook.com/sisterspeakpodcast. We are on Twitter at _SisterK and _SisterJ. And we are also on Get Glue, which I don't think...
I'm on Get Glue.
Do you do Get Glue?
Yeah,
more
I do
than,
Get
okay.
Glue.
And it's the same name. It's Sister J and Sister K.
Mm-hmm.
And our website is sisterspeakpodcast.com. That's it for now. I'm Sister K.
And I'm Sister J.
See you next time.
Hi, sisters and Sister Speak Podcast family. This is Toya from Delaware. It's time for humans to bite back.
Hey, sisters. It's Jazzy from Ohio. It's time for humans to bite back.